I got the PC adapter for the PlayStation VR 2 headset, and getting it to work was an adventure. Plus, a modder removed their VR mod because they weren't permitted to charge money for it. Tonight is January 25th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Welcome to the snowed-in edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Yeah, it's we're having some weather. Let's talk about the weather, I guess. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a snowed-in, or in my case, iced-in edition. I'll talk about that in a little bit, even though we love all talking about ice right now. Welcome to that edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on this snowed or iced-in edition, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly, but also we are a podcast, so if you can't be here on Sunday nights, I completely understand. Other things are all usually going on the weekends, or it's the end of the weekend, you're getting ready for the work week, unfortunately, because we do have to still work here in this society. I hate it too, trust me. You can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week, and that is where you will hear news about like the return of Orange Lounge Radio. The reboot of Orange Lounge Radio 2DX starts tonight. There have been some test streams and things going on all week, so hopefully we should all enjoy that tonight. I hope you will stick around for that a little bit later on tonight, and for you can get more information about maybe the podcast version of that over on that Discord server. And over on our social medias, over at Blue Sky at the VogNetwork.com social media account. There's been a couple of people in chat. As Sharon O'Matt says, 18 plus inches of snow? That's a lot of snow. It's currently 2 degrees Fahrenheit where Sharon O'Matt is. So I hope you're staying warm. There's about a foot of snow where Pod Culture is. As Jerry Matt says, it was negative 15 Fahrenheit with the wind chill. We're here. I'm here in Atlanta, and we didn't get snow. We got something worse. We got ice, and that's worse. Where I am at, I actually got spared. We only got about a quarter of an inch of ice, but it's ice. And I have heard trees falling, and I actually heard a tree fall 30 minutes ago, because it's been freezing rain all day. It's been just below freezing, so much so, in fact, if you remember last week, I was telling y'all about where I was going to be this weekend, and I was like I'm going to be playing a bunch of board games, and it's going to be great. And it's called Dice and Diversions. It's a tabletop board game convention by the people who brought you Southern Fried Gaming Expo here in Atlanta, which is basically we wanted to take what was great about California Extreme and bring it to the East Coast. This is, let's take what's great about Gen Con and bring it down to the Southeast. So that's what they were doing. It was going to be this week. And then all the weather reports came in. And one thing you got to know about the organizers is that they all do listen to science. They at least, I think one still does work here, work at this place. I don't know if the others do. They did up until this year. At the very least, they work at the CDC. So they listen to scientists when they say stuff. And so on Wednesday, they actually postponed Dice and Diversions to February 20th. So it's going to be in about a month, same place. All the room reservations got moved over. Everybody's schedule got moved over. There are, unfortunately, some people coming in from out of town that are not going to be able to make that date. It does conflict with another convention up in Chattanooga that other people are going to be at. So if you are in the Southeast, in the Atlanta area, and you want to play board games, lots of board games, and get to meet lots of neat people, Come consider Dyson Diversions here in the Atlanta area. It's going to be February 20th through 22nd. It was going to be this weekend. Please support it, because I know they've had to have several cancellations because people can't make the new dates that were coming in from out of town. And that's a shame. So, yeah, it was going to be this weekend. Now it is in February. And as Jordan Matt says, probably didn't help that thousands of flights were canceled. Yeah. Well, the thing they were worried about, because originally we were supposed to get this storm starting like Saturday morning, and people wouldn't be able to leave. And that's very treacherous, people leaving on Sunday. And in fact, that's actually the problem, is that like it was fine up until last night. Like, yes, the ice came much, much later. We didn't get our ice storm starting until about 10 or 11 p.m. last night. So today was the treacherous day. Yesterday, we actually went out and did stuff. But yeah, so that, unfortunately, ICE canceled that. And ICE has been canceling a lot of things. And, you know, I really would love it if we would just abolish needing to talk about ICE. And, you know, because it's really hard to enjoy video games and board games and the things we do when agents of the state shoot you for holding a phone. So anyway, we're going to move on and not talk about that anymore, because we're going to give you about an hour of things not having to think about that. So, yeah, let's talk about some video game stuff that's going on. I would have talked about board games this weekend, but unfortunately I didn't get to play any new ones. Actually, I lie. We did, because I've got board games, and we actually have board games still in the shrink wrap that we had got like last year, and so we pulled out those. So I played Wormspan for the first time, and it was fun. It was cool. There's a neat app that you can put, like we actually put it on a spare iPad that we had. Because I inherited my mom's iPad when she passed away a couple years ago, and we got her a really, really good one with like a keyboard and everything. But it actually like walks you through like the entire game. It's like this video tutorial. Unfortunately, we learned about halfway through, I'm like, oh, that's a Gen AI voice, because it misspoke the word entice a couple times as intis. And I'm like, generative AI right there. But it was nice. It actually walked us through the game, walked us through each round, how to score it. It was great. We didn't need the rule book. So D-I-Z-E-D is the company. Now, it sounded like that voice was generative AI. So maybe you don't want to use it. Maybe you do want to read the rule book. But it really did help us on our first time. So playing Wormspan, which is a variant of Wingspan. It's like the next evolution of Wingspan. So that was fun. This week was the Xbox Developer Direct, and I kind of, you know, bounced around through it, and I wanted to talk about this because this is a game series that I am the problem. I fully admit I am the problem with regards to this, and it is Forza Horizon 6, and I am totally going to go ahead, and I probably will do it very soon, because I know we shouldn't pre-order games. Like, so you really shouldn't pre-order games. You shouldn't order them before they're out. You should wait for reviews. And I am the problem, because I don't care. And I care enough that I know I'm going to love it. So I am absolutely the person buying the $100 edition of Forza Horizon 6. And because Forza Horizon is like the one series I do that with. The other one, sometimes I will do Like a Dragon, the Yakuza series, but the Forza Horizon series, I don't care. I'm putting down my money. The $100 edition gets me both DLCs that I know are going to come out. I feel I get my money's worth out of it, even though I have Game Pass Ultimate, and I have Game Pass Ultimate for quite some time because I had stocked up before Game Pass Ultimate got expensive. I am still buying this ahead of time, and I'm not going to be using my Game Pass thing. Now, other people are going to be getting it via Game Pass. That's great. I will have played it a week earlier because I care about that stuff, but it's still going to be great there. And as Sherman says, yes, I trust Playground Games. They don't really not deliver on a Horizon game. Now, this game, it takes place in Japan, which was leaked, and they've been talking about it for a bit. It comes out in May, just in time for the anniversary of my 29th birthday. And yeah, so I was very excited about this. Also, I did really like what I saw from Fable, which is also Playground Games. That was the other game that was in that direct that I really wanted to see more of. I am more than willing to wait for Game Pass Ultimate on that, but I absolutely will be playing that pretty much that first week, thanks to Game Pass Ultimate. I'm not going to be paying extra for that unless it does blow me away. But Forza Horizon 6, I am very excited for, and I wanted to just address one thing that was in this trailer, and because there are people on the internet that are like, oh my god, I cannot wait. And at the very end of the direct, they do this shot, like it's a post credits tease of a nice red, I don't know which what I can't rec I don't recognize the car off the top of my head, and then this Gundam shows up and walks right behind it, and so everybody on the internet obviously says, hey, we're going to get to fly a Gundam in Forza Horizon 6. No, that's not what it is. And I'm going to tell you, as somebody who does spend the stupid amount of money to buy the high-end version of the game, which is why game prices are so high, it's because of people like me who's like, yes, I will pay $100 for Forza Horizon. I am the problem with this game series. I completely agree. So I'm going to tell you, no, you are not going to be flying a Gundam. You are not going to be flying a Gundam. What that is going to most likely be is you are going to race a Gundam. So in Forza Horizon, they have these events. These are scripted events called showcase races, where you, in your car, are racing against something way bigger and faster than you. It can be a jet. It can be a train. It can be a hoverboat. And you in your car race against this, whatever it is. And the way that they kind of say, this is why it's fair, it's because you both have to go through the same gates, except the plane, or the Gundam in this sense, doesn't have the same cornering ability as you. So they have to overshoot and then come back around to hit the same gate. It is also, in terms of, you know, just the technology, it is very rubber bandy. So it is designed, it is scripted to be a close race, and it's supposed to be a photo finish of you winning at the end. It's very difficult. You can get it to where you lose. You have to really mess up, like, the last turn or two. But other than that, like, the plane will sit there and wait for you. But it's really neat. It's a really neat experience. It's not really, like, it's more of a scripted story thing, but this is what the Gundam is going to be. You are going to be racing your car against a Gundam, and that's what that is referencing. You are not flying a Gundam in Forza Horizon 6. You aren't doing that, but the internet seems to think you are, and I'm telling you, this is the formula that works for Forza Horizon, and you are going to be flying against a Gundam. S. Sharon and Matt says, thinking about it, I'm probably buying the Ultimate Edition as well. I'm sure, I'm for sure getting physical, so I'm already in for a penny. My Game Pass sub lapses at the end of summer, and I don't plan to renew it. The reason I am not getting physical, as much as I would love to get physical, is I want the Xbox Play Anywhere. Because if I buy that Ultimate Edition on for the Xbox, I also get it for PC. And I am not as tied to Steam as other people are. I do not mind using the Windows Store version of something over the Steam version of something. But you can't do that with physical. You can't, even though I'm one of those weird people that have a Blu-ray drive in my my computer, so I could theoretically, I think it's even a 4K Blu-ray. I've got a 4K Blu-ray drive in this computer internal. I had to find a case that still had a bay that I could put in an internal CD drive in. Very hard to find, by the way. I don't even think they make this case anymore. I couldn't buy it today. But even though I've got that, I can't put the disc in the drive and have Windows say, oh, yeah, this is that game. So unfortunately, I am not going to be getting the physical version of this. I will be getting the digital version. So I will be there. And one of the things is that I do is, if you are getting it even on Game Pass, if you have Game Pass still at that time, because it takes several hours to unlock the part where you create a car club, I usually, like, that first night, I am basically kind of rushing to unlock the car club so I can get the VOG letters, because I think once somebody takes it, it's taken. So I can have the Vogue Car Club, but I usually do that like that first night, like at midnight. I'm in there and playing until like 3 or 4 a.m. until I can unlock the car club. I create the car club and then I go to bed. And people in chat are talking about like, yeah, you can get external enclosures. I'm like, but I wanted it in. I had an internal drive, so. And I wanted it in, and I got one. I got what I wanted, and I am all good. So, yeah. Zemug11 says, Steam is my last option for games I really want. If I can get it anywhere else other than Steam, I will get it there. If I have no option but Steam, then I buy on Steam. I may be more in the Steam ecosystem if the Steam machine comes out and actually does pretty well. Because then I'll be like, well, then I'll have the Steam machine, and then I will get a Steam Deck for my handheld, and then I'll have my PC, and... You know, then who needs a console? But that's if Valve can actually pull all that stuff off. Dark Zacia says, yeah, if there's any meetups in Forza 6, I'll try to be in there. I've wanted to do that in Forza 5 forever, and we never did. But that's also because I'm not very good at planning that type of stuff and trying to get us all in. But now, like, that everything, like, incorporates Discord chat, voice chat, maybe we can do something. But I will be picking it up on Xbox. It is coming out on PlayStation in, like, later this year. So it's not coming out on PlayStation in May, but it's going to be on PlayStation before the end of the year. And then usually those are cross-play, so you'd be able to play with us if you waited for the PlayStation version. Yeah, and some people are going to get it on PS5. And Forza Horizon 5, I think, would play great on PS5 as well. And so, I think you can even play with the Xbox players in the PS5 version as well, which is great. Like, that's how it should be. That's really how it should be. So, So I just wanted to say you're not going to be able to fly a Gundam in Forza Horizon 6. You're going to fly against a Gundam, and you are going to win against a Gundam. Let's talk about PlayStation and using PlayStation stuff on things that aren't PlayStations. How about that? All right. So I've been kind of teasing this for a bit, and I finally pulled the trigger. Actually, I pulled the trigger when I'm like, oh, I'm not going to be gone this weekend, so I can be here just in case this comes. It's because I finally broke down and got the PlayStation 2 VR2 adapter for PC, which has been out for about a year now, or probably over a year now, because I think it came out in late 2024 and I never got it then. And let me just tell you, this was an adventure. I didn't think it was going to be an adventure because one of the people in our Discord server, MameFan, was very nice in preparing me for this adventure and like some of the pitfalls that people ran into. And it is essentially about the controllers. It is about the PlayStation VR, the Edge controllers, and the fact that they work over Bluetooth. Now, apparently, the PS5 has a really powerful Bluetooth antenna inside of it that most computers don't have. And the problem is, my motherboard actually didn't have Bluetooth. I purposely got a motherboard for whatever reason that had no Bluetooth and no Wi-Fi because I didn't need it. I was like, I don't have any Bluetooth stuff, and I don't, you know, I'm plugging it in directly. My router's literally right here, so the wire goes from just to my left to the computer that's just to my right. So it's like not even 6 feet. So I didn't need Wi-Fi. And so that was what I thought when I bought it. Now I'm like, I wish I had gotten both of those, because there are like I use the overly expensive Elgato key lights, and the only way you can add a new one is it talks to it over a Wi-Fi. You have to have a Wi-Fi antenna to be able to add one. I didn't know that, but anyway, because my last computer actually did have a Wi-Fi antenna, I didn't turn on, so it turned it on and added the lights. But I was warned. I was like, okay, well, not every Bluetooth adapter works with the Edge controllers, and I was like, great. And so MameFan said, get the Asus USB BT500, and actually linked it. I put it on my Amazon wish list, and my wife said was trying to find things to get me in December and saw that this thing was like $10 on my Amazon wish list. So I got this for Christmas. On Christmas morning, I opened up the Asus USB BT500, and I plugged it into my system. I got my Bluetooth-only Xbox One controller, paired great, used it. It was great. Everything was fine. So I was good. I was all good. And then, so I was like, okay, I'm going to plug in, I undid my Valve Index stuff and, you know, I had to buy a DisplayPort cable, by the way. It does not, you need to have your own DisplayPort cable for this to work, because it's just the adapter that goes into your USB, and then it's got a port for the display adapter, DisplayPort, and it does not come with that cable. So you have to make sure you have a DisplayPort cable. So I plugged that, I got one of those because I was using all mine, plugged in everything. And I put the PlayStation VR headset into the adapter, which there's only the one USB, USB-C coming in. And I was like, great. And I downloaded the PlayStation VR 2 app on Steam. So you actually need to have two Steam apps open for this to work. You need PlayStation VR 2 open first. Then you have to manually open the Steam VR app, so Steam VR works. But you can't do it out of order, and it doesn't recognize that the PlayStation VR 2 is plugged in, so you actually have to go find Steam VR in Steam and open it. There is no VR goggles at the top right, like there are when you have a Valve Index plugged in. So, already a little bit clunky, and I'm like, all right, and I plugged it in. It's like, great, I see this. Okay, cool. Now pair your controllers. And so I got the right Edge controller, and I did the whole, you know, and you have to pair it through like Windows Bluetooth. Like it's, you don't pair it from inside the app. So I'm like, great, cool. Okay. Yeah. Edge controller, right. Great. Cool. Connected. Let me try pairing the left one. Nothing. It was not sensing anything. I'm like, Okay, so I'm starting to look things around, and I'm like, and then like I try it again, and I turn it off. I turn off the right one, and I do the left one, and it paired. Like so, like my so okay, like they're both paired. So I try to turn them both on at the same time. No, not working. So I do some Googling, and what they actually suggest is, okay, what you have to do. Because I had just the Bluetooth just connected to a USB port on the back of my computer, which is fine. Because literally, like, I am where I am sitting, my computer is literally to the right of me, and the back of the computer is right next to my leg. So there is no line of sight problem because it's already basically facing where I was sitting, right? And but they're like, no. What you need to do is A, you need to plug it into a USB 2.0 port, not a 3.0 port. And you need it connect. You need to connect a USB extender and have the Bluetooth adapter away from your computer. So because the computer, the actual case and the electronics in it interferes with the antenna. I'm like, all right. Well, good news is I already have one of those because I use it for my camcorder. And so I got that and I was like, okay, cool. And then I'm like, all right, let's do this. And they connected. Both of them connected. And what wound up happening is that Steam's like, Steam VR is like, no, this is your connection's too bad. Your connection's too poor. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is literally the top recommended adapter in a USB 2.0 port on an extension cable right in front of my face. Like I was literally holding it next to the controller. And what basically wound up happening is if both controllers were on, there is a little thing in the PlayStation VR 2 app that says, we're going to check your connection strength. And both controllers were 59 out of 100, which is poor. And it won't work with when they're at 59 out of 100. Now, if I only had one of the two controllers plugged in or turned on, it was 100 out of 100. It was working great. The minute I turned the second one on, they both went to 59 out of 100. And that is, you are literally not able to use it. It does not let you use it. Steam VR does not track it. You can't set the boundary of your room. You can't do any of that. And I'm like, well, great. Because, unfortunately, this is the top-rated adapter. In fact, even PlayStation's website lists a couple of adapters, and this is the biggest one. Their website actually has the Asus USB BT500 right here as one of the four that you can use. And they basically say you need to have it external. You need to, you know, use a USB 2.0 extension cable. This is PlayStony's official site is actually telling you need to do all this stuff just to get this to work when they could have just included a Bluetooth antenna inside their damn adapter box that I paid $80 for. And then it would have been able to handle things just fine. So I was like, okay, well, one of the other things So that obviously this was not the only Bluetooth adapter that they suggested. There's another one, and even on their site, they're like, oh, you can use this adapter, but you have to use this very specific driver. And that adapter is the TP-Link UB500. So I ordered the TP-Link UB500, plugged it into the exact same port and the exact same cable that I was using with the Asus, and I get 99 out of 100 on both controllers. So I finally, having to buy a second, admittedly only $10, like these adapters are relatively cheap, $10. It's not like I'm buying RAM. After all that, I finally was able to get the PlayStation VR 2 working on my PC. It worked great because of the way I had it set up. Like I was not dropping anything. The tracking was great. I was able to play Beat Saber just fine, which is usually a lot of people's test to see if they can even use all the controllers and everything. And it does look a lot better than my Valve Index because it's an OLED screen, so I actually get like very black blacks. It's actually easier for me to see things that are dark. Like a lot of the games that I play do have a dark, like are very dark, and it's good. So I'm very happy with this. Although having the Steam Frame is going to be even better, I think, because it will actually natively work with Steam VR and probably not have all these problems. So because they're also going to be having Steam, Valve is including their own dedicated stuff to get all this information instead of you having to buy Bluetooth adapters, random ones, and like hope that it works. And the thing that sucks about this is, you know, you read Reddit or you read the Steam forums or whatever, like most people have success with the Asus because they have the TP-Link one and it doesn't work for them, and I am the opposite. The Asus one didn't work for me, the TP-Link one did. So it's really it's a crapshoot. Esther and Matt says so many hoops to jump through for this. It was a lot more, I thought, because I had planned ahead and went ahead and bought the Asus one and already had it working in my PC that I was going to be home free. No. And by the time I got it working, I didn't feel like playing games anymore, but I did wind up playing it. So, now Mike Def says feels way too convoluted to make it work. Yeah, but it's good. It actually does work. Once you get through all those hoops, I was able to play just about everything in Steam VR. Loaded up VR chat. It worked fine. It probably looked better. I could actually read smaller text easier, which is the thing I couldn't do in the Valve Index because it's a bigger resolution. But no, there were no problems. I did my guilty pleasure in VR. If you hadn't heard me talk about it, is American Truck Simulator, which everybody laughs when I say that. And I play it actually in the chill way, not in the way that you saw in Awesome Games Done Quick, which was hilarious. You should go watch the American Truck Simulator run from Awesome Games Done Quick 2026 because it is hilarious. But that is not the way I play. But I usually just sit and chill and play that, and that worked fine as well. And also with that, I'm not even using their controllers. I actually control that with an Xbox controller. But I could actually like read the street signs easier and stuff. So it's a much better experience. It's going to be a nice stopgap between now and when the Steam Frame comes out, in which the Steam Frame will probably take precedence over this. But at least I'm going to have it for a couple months. But I was able to do everything with it. The controllers, they do have the vibration control in the controllers. It does not use the nothing uses the adaptive triggers right now. I do understand that there is now a third-party modification to the PlayStation VR2 drivers that add in like the adaptive triggers that you could get on the PS5 for that. I don't think anything uses the eye tracking just yet, or I think somebody's really working on the eye tracking. And even doing the foveated rendering, which is something that the PlayStation 5 does with this headset. They just didn't put it in the PC driver. And then I don't think anything rumbles your head yet because the PlayStation VR2 actually has rumble in the head, which is not as bad as it sounds. It actually is a neat effect when it's being used on PS5 games, but nothing on the PC uses it yet. So, yeah. I finally did get it working, and that's all I can talk about it because I didn't really do much anything else. But now it's a little bit easier for me to get VR running because I don't have to go turn on base stations and things. I can just basically plug this in, and you know, I have the controllers charging because I had the USB base that I could plug them into. And yeah, so unfortunately what this means is if I do want to use it on my PS5, I have to repair everything because these controllers can only pair to one device at a time. And right now they're paired to my controller, my computer. So anyway, I'm back in VR with a modern VR headset from the 2020s. So let's talk about some VR news. This was something that came through on our Discord server, and it's about a mod that you can no longer get. And it's about, and I kind of been watching, reading about this and reading what they have to do and kind of putting my software developer hat on, even though I know nothing about how this mod was developed. I just kind of know generally how things work. And I am unfortunately for everybody siding with the giant evil corporation CD Projekt Red on this one. So we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077, and Digital Trends reports that a popular fan-made VR mod of Cyberpunk 2077 is no longer available, sparking a familiar debate around paid mods and publisher control. CD Projekt Red has issued a DMCA takedown against the Cyberpunk 2077 VR mod created by well-known VR modder Luke Ross, effectively forcing it offline after being available for nearly 4 years. The mod, first released in early 2022, allowed players to explore Night City in full VR, dramatically boosting immersion for headset users. It was widely praised in the VR community and became one of Ross's most popular projects. The mod itself was not the problem, but the fact that access to it was locked behind a paywall. While CD Projekt Red has long supported free modding for Cyberpunk 2077 and The Witcher 3, charging money for a mod using its intellectual property crossed a legal line for the company. Ross addressed the takedown directly in a blunt and emotional Patreon post titled "Another One Bites the Dust." He confirmed that CD Projekt Red had contacted him through its legal team, leaving little room for negotiation. He says, quote, CD Projekt SA decided that they would follow and take two Interactive Software steps and issued a DMCA notice against me. Unquote. He accused the company of applying what he called ironclad corpo logic, arguing that publishers expect modders to work for free while blocking any form of financial support. Ross also pushed back on the idea that his VR framework was a derivative work, saying it simply enables games to be viewed in immersive 3D and does not reuse a company's assets. He says, quote, the bottom line is all that matters and gamers be damned, unquote. Despite the setback, Ross made it clear that he is not walking away from VR modding. In the same post, he announced the release of a new VR mod for Baldur's Gate 3, once again, behind a paywall. There could still be a legitimate path forward for Cyberpunk 2077 fans, as Flat to VR Studios has publicly expressed interest in working with CD Projekt Red on an officially approved VR version of the game. And Immortal King says Bobby has joined the dark side. So here's why I'm on CD Projekt Red's side for this, because even though Luke Ross says, I did not reuse any of their assets. You're right. He is most likely right. He did not reuse any of their assets. But he does hook into some of the API, which is the Application Programming Interface, is what it stands for. But it's the API interface of the game. Because this is not running an engine like Unreal Engine 5 or Unity or something where you can create something generic and it works. In fact, there is something for Unreal Engine that basically any Unreal Engine game you can run in VR using this thing. And that absolutely does not use anything custom that any developer put in their game. So, but unfortunately, Cyberpunk is running on a completely custom engine. So he does have to actually reference CD Projekt Red intellectual property and manipulate it in order for this to work. It does not work without any of that meddling. And that is where CD Projekt Red says, you know, we allow people to use that. You just can't benefit financially from it. That is the contract, the social contract we have in the terms of service. And he said, no, I don't care about your terms of service. I am going to write code that references your code, hooks into your code, modifies your code specifically, and not general Unreal Engine. I'm going to modify the Cyberpunk-specific engine, and I'm going to charge people to do it. And that's where CD Projekt Red is like, no. Now, CD Projekt Red had no problem with the mod existing. They're like, it just can't be behind a paywall. And he's like, and that was a bridge too far for Luke. And if he says, like, it is really not using any of their assets, then It should just work without it. Like, then he's like, okay, yeah, I took it off. But wink, wink, nudge, nudge, the stuff that I did for all these other games, it just works in Cyberpunk because I didn't use any of their specific stuff. So that's why I'm like, okay, I do get it. And yes, if you want to call that the dark side, that's on some things I do. Because if they say, no, you can't do paid mods, then you don't do paid mods. You make your own thing. You do your own thing. Questmaster says CD Projekt on their part did offer him a way out. He could host the mod, just not charge for it. He also allegedly made $20,000 a month at one point from people willing to pay for his mods. He has more than one VR mod for games. So basically what happened, and MameFan on our Discord actually mentioned this as well. So MameFan, you're getting a lot of airtime tonight. Thank you so much. He charges $10 per month, and the mod includes every game in one. So if you pay the $10, you get all of the mods in one download. And so CD Projekt Red is like, just separate Cyberpunk out of that and just have the Cyberpunk mod outside of your $10. And 13X Forever actually said, injecting your code inside the process to modify its behavior is subject to the DMCA, which is how all the cheaters are being sued. So he's Luke Ross is using the same methodology that cheat software uses to inject themselves into specific games to be able to get this to work, which is cheating in online games. And so that's how the DMCA is evoked for cheaters. And a lot of people are like, yes, I want the aimbotters to be, you know, taken away. I don't like the aimbotters and stuff like that. And it's literally the same thing here. SJR Matt says, it does beg the question if modders should get compensated for their hard work on a mod, especially if the mod does bring more to the game. But part of the rub is sharing mods on a game that is very open mod. You have to follow their rules. And if they say you can't charge for mods, that's how it goes. Mike Def says, even if you're not on CD Projekt Red's side, they are totally in the right here considering how the mod works and it is distributed. And Dark Tessia says, reminds me of the story of the webmaster that caught the wrath of Nintendo for hosting ROMs behind a paywall. And Questmaster says, even optional donations were fine per CD Projekt, just not the kind of monetization this fell under. So, you know, I get it. I get it on CD Projekt Red side. I also get why Luke Ross probably wants to get paid for his work, because it is a lot of work to do this. But at that point, make your own thing. And Pod Culture's like, didn't they say he could ask for donations? Yeah, he could absolutely have a Patreon, which helps fund more development. They just were like, you can't lock this behind that. Like, they want me, now that I've got a good VR setup, to be able to get this mod and use it without having to pay Luke Ross for it. But if I wanted to give Luke Ross money, they're like, yeah, absolutely. Make it, you know, do it. Get that bag. But I totally get it. Now, Flat 2 VR Studios, I actually did play something that they've done. And normally I'm not a fan of, like, the games that were made for a flat screen getting modified and put into VR, because there's a lot of things that change. There's a lot of different design decisions you have to make for a VR game. But Flat 2 VR actually did a VR conversion of a game called Trombone Champ, which I played way back when it first came out, and played a little bit since. But they made Trombone Champ unflattened, and in the last Steam sale, I picked it up. And it is basically a reimagining of the game. They changed some of the way it worked. But it is a very good VR version of the game. And if you're wondering how Trombone Champ works in VR, is that it uses the distance between the two controllers as to the length of the trombone slide. And then there's you have to hit a button or something, and that button is you blowing into the thing. But they have, like, the notes come in a different way. There's a different, different background. So you lose a little bit of what you get in regular Trombone Champ, like the custom backgrounds that are behind the notes, like during the Canadian National Anthem, there are baboons wearing Mountie hats and things like that. Baboons are a whole thing. Apparently tromboners like baboons. Anyway, you don't get that in the VR version. In the VR version, you're you're on stage in a concert hall, and there are a whole bunch of people around, and you're basically watching the right or the left side, and that's where that's where the notes come in. Esther and Matt asked, did anyone donate to RinRAR or WinZip back in the day, like how the prompt always asks? Some people did, but you never needed to pay for WinZip. It just, the nag was there, but they didn't remove any features to this day. That's the VR stuff. Let's talk real quick about the sad news for the week. Although, you know, hey, if you don't like this company, maybe this is good news because their stock price took a tumble here. Let's talk about Ubisoft just a little bit. Video Games Chronicle reports that Ubisoft has announced it has canceled six games currently in development, including its remake of Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, and delayed seven others. It's as part of a larger announcement that is conducting a major organizational, operational, and portfolio reset. The company also stated that it had conducted a thorough review of its content pipeline over the last 2 months. The review led to the decision to refocus its portfolio, reallocate resources, and comprehensively revise its roadmap over the next 3 years. Ubisoft said its focus will be on a return to exceptional levels of quality on the open-world adventure segment and to step change the group's position in the games-as-a-service native experiences segment. So they're canceling a whole bunch of games so they can get Assassin's Creed back to being great as a game-as-a-service. SJR Matt says, kind of surprised Sands of Time remake wasn't canceled already. It was in developer hell for 8+ years already. I think, like, didn't a trailer come out and then everybody hated it? So they were like, let's change this. Questbuster says, and somehow Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still chugging along. Is it, though? Because they didn't, and they just said we canceled six games. One of them was Sands of Time. Four of them have been unannounced titles, and they never said what the sixth game was. So I don't know. I was thinking, is Beyond Good and Evil 2 the sixth game that they're canceling, and they just didn't tell anybody? It's also delaying seven other games to ensure enhanced quality and benchmarks are fully met. This includes the unannounced title originally planned for this year that's been delayed to next year. Now, it does say that the unannounced title in question is the remake of Assassin's Creed Black Flag. And because Assassin's Creed Black Flag Resynced appears on the PEGI website, Prince of Persia devs put out a thing saying, "Yeah, no, sorry, we know you love it. Go play the original." Ubisoft did say, quote, as part of the finalization of the reorganization, we went through a review of projects across December and January with the current market's evolution in mind, which is persistently more selective. You've seen the last quarter showing a never seen before level of competition. So competition and selection is here to stay. But when you're coming in at number one, number two with great quality on a given segment, then you can have a very strong reward in terms of player perception and financial performance. So that's what really formed our pipeline review. We enhanced the quality criteria to select what we think would be the best projects to put the creative houses in the best conditions to succeed in that market, with the idea that we must refocus our resources to the strongest potential games for the long term. So that's really the criteria, the approach that we followed to either stop some games, and in there are three new IPs that we stopped in the context where, yes, it's more difficult in this market to create new IPs than before, or to give them additional time for projects that we think have great potential but need to make sure that they come with exceptional quality. So that's really the approach and mindset that we've been following. Coming back to new IPs, we still have four new IPs in development, including March of Giants, which we just acquired. So we believe that there are four innovative new IPs that we can bring to market with a great levels of success, unquote. Questbuster says they did confirm Beyond Good and Evil 2 is still in production. It is a top priority for their open world initiative. Okay, thank you so much, Questbuster. That's why I have a chat room, because you can tell me when I don't know something. They believe that you want, so they're falling into the trap of nobody wants anything new. And honestly, like, the market and the consumers have kind of proven them right, which kind of sucks for those of us that aren't like the mainstream. I mean, and like I said, I'm part of the problem, because what's the game I'm going to drop $100 on? A sixth iteration of a series. Am I going to drop $100 on a different racing game? Probably not. And so therein lies the rub. And this is also what happens when you have MBAs in charge of creative endeavors, because great art takes risks, but great MBAs minimize risk. And by canceling Prince of Persia Sands of Time, you eliminate the risk that it's not going to land with people, because apparently the trailer that came out 6 years ago didn't land with consumers, so they weren't going to buy it. Canceling these unannounced IPs, that's extremely risky. And so to eliminate risk, they got to get rid of those IPs. And Pogger says, unless it's Blur 2. Yes, I would be there day one for a Blur 2. That's EA, I think. And so maybe, but that's Saudi Arabia now. So I don't know. We are going to take a quick music break, and then we will take calls. And coming up a little bit later on, by the way, the return of a favorite podcast. We're going to take a quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
You're listening to Bobby Blackwolf exclusively on the Bobby Blackwolf Show, which is exclusive to VOG Network, which in turn is exclusive to VOGNetwork.com.
Thank you very much, YYR. You know what else is exclusive to VOG Network other than us? Your bumpers. So if you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to say that you're exclusive or anything like that. All you got to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice or a video with just your voice. I will choose which DMCA violation to put behind it, unless you can get me the actual full license release for whatever song is in the behind background. All you got to do is send me that and contact me on Discord. Then I can play things that were from recent, because I think my most recent bumper is like 4 years old. And that's why you're hearing a lot of the same ones over and over again. Normally, I do take calls, and we're not going to be doing that tonight because usually we sometimes if I shut up early enough, we can take a call. Somebody can talk about something going on in the gaming industry. But we are now going to go back to doing something that we used to do a lot. So in the past, we have had there's been a show that's been after us, and one of the things that we always did is we always talked to them to see what was going to be coming on next. And coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network is Orange Lounge Radio 2DX. We also want to check in with them, see what they're going to be talking about tonight. OLR, are you there?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I sounded like a 13-year-old boy for a second. Hi.
Jamie, how are you doing? Are you feeling better?
Much better. The voice is still kind of wobbly, but, you know, I can just say I'm doing my phone operator voice.
There you go. So are you excited to be back on the air tonight?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
So who do you have with you this time around?
Some guys I just met on the internet.
Okay. That's usually how this works.
We have Brad of Pod Culture. Ooh. And our own DJ Run Mess.
Yes. So what, like, give us kind of a little bit of a preview of like kind of the type of things we're going to be hearing in this 2026 edition of Orange Lounge Radio.
Shenanigans mostly.
Of course.
And food.
Okay.
But really we're spreading out. You know, we are all of different, I'd say, disciplines in the geek spheres, mm-hmm. those weird concentric circles that form kind of, you know, like the Aran from the Neverending Story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're a weird twisty Ouroboros is what we are. So we are going to be talking about some Nintendo stuff, some former Nintendo stuff, I mm-hmm. should say, some Disney stuff in gaming form. The end of I'd say an adult location, some anime news, some comics news, and some general discussion. We want feedback from everybody. We want mm-hmm. this is where geeks have a voice now,
mm-hmm.
not just the gamers. We are all we're full spectrum geek, I would say.
Yeah. It's always good to could change things up a little bit, especially when you've been doing it for so long.
Long.
Yeah. So let me ask you, because like usually what I also do is, you know, something that I talked about that may not have been on your radar. But, you know, the idea of I was going to go back to the story that I talked about where there was somebody charging for a mod in CD Projekt Red from Cyberpunk 2077 says, no, you can have a free mod. But you can't charge. We don't want you charging money for it. It needs to be outside of your paywall. And I sided with the Evil Corporation. I sided with CD Projekt Red because it is using, it's a direct hook into their custom engine. It's not like they're using Unreal Engine. It's not like they're using Unity, which you can make generic and there's nothing they can do about it. What's your take on the situation for that?
They're well within their rights to be against it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about not just something that is altering their code. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking, you know, proprietary business. We're also talking about something that they put it out in trust that people were going to make mods that would enhance enjoyment of the game and not detract financially, mm-hmm. but or take a profit off of an IP that does not belong to them.
Yeah.
I'm saying this from a very logical, legal, and business point of view. If it would be like someone saying that I have made, say, a template. Like, say I made a design template, something, you know, for... I don't know, like a full website template, right? Mm-hmm. And then someone's like, oh, we're going to take your exact template and instead of making overlays or something for it, we are going to modify your template and resell it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So as an artist, absolutely no. As a person who has been through plenty of business courses, I might add, mm-hmm. no. As a person who works with legal contracts, no. As a person in technology, I am watching my language. Fart no. I'll pull a Shayla. Frick no.
There you go. Even though CD Projekt Red is a corporation, they are still artists. And so it is still art. And we fought for so many years to have games seen as art and not just consumer products. And this is what you get out of it. So.
And even so, it's a marriage of the two, mm-hmm. you know, it is still it's artwork that also is a consumer product, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on either side of that, you still don't want someone modifying something that belongs to you and selling it as their own.
Yeah.
I have very strong feelings about this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do too, and that's why there was a chatter that said I went to the dark side because I was on the giant corporation side, but I'm like, they gave several outs. They're like, you know what? You can still have your Patreon, just have our mod outside of the paywall, and you can still make money. You can still ask for donations. That's perfectly fine. And it was all or nothing with the modder, and I respect that as well. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't want his work out there for free, he should not be forced to have it out there for free. It's just it can't be available at all. And
then he needs to make his own damn game.
Yeah, at that point, you know enough about what you're doing. Make your own stuff.
Exactly. You know, and there are people, if they like what you're doing well enough, they'll pay for it. I mean, look at Dota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean. There's all kinds of games out there that were formed, games, books, you name it, everything mm-hmm. is influenced by everything else these days.
Yeah, I mean, 50 Shades of Grey was originally a Twilight mm-hmm. fanfic.
I was thinking about that and did not want to bring that.
It's fine. That one's fine. All right. Yeah. So Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is up next. You've already kind of gone through what you're going to be talking about tonight. We are all so excited to see you and Brad and Ranma back on the air. I wish you all have a lot of fun tonight.
Thank you. Well, as we were saying, you know, it's season 2, 23 years later.
That's right. Well, it's so exciting to have you all back. And I kept the stream warm with some marbles for the past couple months, but now it's coming back. Yes. So now it's coming back to y'all.
It was fun.
Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is coming up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Interact with the show directly. You can also join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, and you can find out more stuff on social media at Bobby Black Wolf on Instagram, at BobbyBlackWolf.com on Blue Sky, or at VogNetwork.com on Blue Sky as well. So if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. We would not be able to make this show work, though, without the help of the chatters. SSJ100 and Matt resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. And Tiger Claw resubscribed, saying I resubscribed. And Sean322 cheered 200 bits and just said, hoip. And by the way, Mortal King says, I admit I was wrong in me being on the dark side. So thank you so much for that. But you are also very free to think that I was wrong, because there are obviously two sides and both sides kind of have a point. I just think that one side on that has more of a point than the other. And if you disagree, that's totally fine. This is one of those things that it's okay to disagree about and still be friends. There are certain other things you can't disagree with about and still be friends. This is not one of them. This is one of those that, yeah, we can disagree and it'll be great. So I'm still glad that you are here. So that is it. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button here to get us out of here. Where is it? There is. There it is. That's the button I needed to hit. Let's have some fun with Orange Lounge Radio 2DX coming up next, season 2, starting right after this. Take care. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.